This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah, wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu wa tawakkalu 'alayhi wa billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. May yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlil fala hadiya lahu. وقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا يغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا. Continuing on our series of key victories that occurred in the month of Ramadan, today we're going to take a look a bit deeper into our history. About 80 years after the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the history we're going to look at today is bittersweet. It's on one hand one of the most glorious conquests in the history of Islam, which led to a golden age, which led to the thriving of an amazing civilization. But if you actually go to the full story, it doesn't have a good ending, right? There are certain periods in our history which are rather dark, and where the Muslims lost. And I think it's one of the key lessons that we need to focus on, is that when it comes to battles and wars in this world, the believers are not guaranteed victory, right? And so, although we're going to be discussing victories over the next three lessons, the victories we're going to look at are also accompanied by periods of darkness and loss. That is the way of the world. And specifically, today we're going to look at very briefly at the history of Islam in Spain. Spain, which we know today to be a Christian land, was for 700 years a Muslim land. For 700 years, Spain and Portugal was an Islamic country called Al-Andalus. And many people don't even know about this part of our history. This was the first Muslim land that was a major power that was lost to the non-Muslims. Before the fall of Andalus, it was unheard of that the Muslims conquered the land and they lost it. So it's a very bittersweet history, but we're actually going to focus more on the good side of the history today, because we're going to focus on how and when did the Muslims conquer that region. And as with all of the other victories that we discussed in the series, this takes place in the month of Ramadan. So, we're now jumping ahead 80 years. We spoke about the Battle of Badr that took place in Ramadan 2 AH. We spoke about the conquest of Makkah that took place in Ramadan 8 AH. Now, we talk about the conquest of Spain, which takes place in Ramadan somewhere around 90 to 92 AH. The Muslims, after the conquest of Makkah, were on a wave of momentum, and they continued to conquer many of the nearby regions. Especially during two reigns, the Muslims conquered more lands than ever before. The reign of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, during which the Muslims conquered Palestine, Syria, Egypt, Persia, and many other lands. And then, about 60 years later, in the reign of Walid ibn Abdul Malik, also known as Walid I, when the Muslims conquered North Africa on one end, all the way to India on the other hand, parts of India, and also Spain. And this is the point in our history that we want to look at today. Walid ibn Abdul Malik is a controversial figure in our history. He was an Umayyad ruler, the sixth Umayyad ruler. And we know the Umayyads are a mixed bag, right? They had their good and they had their bad. They weren't, this is not the time of the Sahaba anymore, basically, right? The time of the Sahaba, we had the Khulafa al-Rashideen, we have nothing but praise for them. We're now in the next generation, and the rulers now are a mixed bag. Walid ibn Abdul Malik, one of the good things that he did was that he appointed in his lifetime some of the greatest military commanders in the history of Islam. And these military commanders were able to conquer regions that before had not been introduced to Islam. So in the east, he had appointed Muhammad ibn Qasim. And Muhammad ibn Qasim was the first person to conquer parts of India. So Islam actually reaches parts of India just about 80 years after Rasulullah passed away. Again, many people don't know this, but India was a Muslim land for over 1,000 years. It's another one of those lands that we lost, It was in Muslim land for over 1,000 years, going all the way back to the time of Walid ibn Abdul Malik. But our story doesn't take part, it doesn't take place in the East, it takes place in the West. The most Western, most conquest of the Muslims at that time. So on one hand, the armies of Muhammad ibn Qasim are conquering parts of India. On the other side of the empire, Walid ibn Abdul Malik appoints a commander by the name of Musa ibn Dusayr, who conquers large portions of North Africa, all the way up to Morocco. And he becomes the governor of this region. And while he is ruling over Morocco and ruling over North Africa, just across the ocean to the north in southern Europe, we have what we know today to be Spain and Portugal, right? Back then, they weren't countries with borders. Back then, it was villages and cities. It was a region called Andalus. Now, this region at that time was under the rule of a tyrannical Christian king named King Roderick. King Roderick was known for his oppression of his people, specifically oppressing two types of people. The Jews — Christian kings love to oppress the Jews, right? Our people have been accused of being anti-Semitic. In reality, it was the Europeans who were anti-Semitic. So the Jews were being oppressed greatly by King Roderick, but also Christians of other denominations were being oppressed greatly by King Roderick. You see, one of the things that Islam fixed for the Christians is that before Islam, Christians of different denominations would fight each other and kill each other because they considered each other to be like different religions. Islam came and treated all of them as Ahlul Kitab. So under Muslim rule, they all live side by side in peace. So the sectarian conflicts between Christians were solved through Islam, because they now had to live side by side in peace, as now they had power over each other. So Roderick is oppressing the other Christians of Spain, he's oppressing the Jews of Spain, and there's one story, and there's difference of opinion on the authenticity of the story, but essentially the story goes that a count of Andalus by the name of Julian, he sends his daughter to study in the libraries of King Roderick, and King Roderick molests his daughter. And that was like the final straw for Count Julian. And he says, we have to get rid of this king, we need to sort him out. Now, Julian is aware of the Muslims. He was actually ruling over North Africa when the Muslims came in and conquered North Africa. And one of the amazing things about this period in history is the Muslims are conquering all these regions, right? Muslims are conquering all these regions from the Romans and from the Persians and from the Christians. Now, when we think of somebody conquering, we imagine people resenting them because, you know, we're still dealing with the trauma of colonization, right? We still resent the colonizer, what they did to our countries. But the Muslim conquests were very different. When the Muslims conquered a region, people preferred them over their previous rulers. And so Julian notices that the Muslims in the regions that they are now ruling over North Africa, they are solving the problems that they have in Spain. That the Muslims bring justice to the lands that they rule over. The Muslims bring peace between Christians and Jews. That under Muslim rule, all denominations of Christians, all denominations of Judaism live in peace as Ahlul Kitab. He realizes that the Muslims could solve the problems of Spain. So he writes a letter to Musa ibn Nusayr, the same person who defeated him in battle, the same person who conquered his lands. And because Musa conquered his land, he had to run away to Spain. From Spain, he writes a letter to Musa saying, come and conquer Spain also. Come and help us. Come take over Spain. We need you guys here. So first Musa thinks this is some kind of trick, you know, I mean, these guys are our enemies, why would they tell us to come into their lands? Remember, at that point in time, Muslims were not interested in Europe. Again, we think of Europe as this amazing civilization. This is very recent history. Going back 1,400 years, Europe was in the Dark Ages. Europe was not seen as a land worth conquering. They were much more important lands. At that point in time, the civilizations were the Byzantians and the Persians. Europe wasn't really seen as a civilized land. It was mostly villages. So the Muslims didn't really have interest in Europe. But the Europeans are saying, come and help us. Our people are being oppressed. We will fight the king with you. We will let you rule with Islam. Just help us get rid of this tyrannical king. So eventually Musa sends a letter to the king Walid asking for permission to go to send an army into Spain. Walid's also skeptical. We've never been to this region. We don't know these people. It could be a trap. So he finally says, fine, send an army, but send a small army, right? Because you have to cross the ocean. If the ship sinks, we don't want to lose our main army. So he has to come up with a small army that is, in a way, expendable. That if they die at sea, you know, the The security of the empire is not compromised. So they put together an army of just 5,000 people. And he appoints as the leader of this army his freed slave, Tariq ibn Ziyad. Tariq ibn Ziyad is the hero of the story. And for the kids out there, there's actually an animated movie online called Tariq ibn Ziyad, which shows this full story. Right? Tariq ibn Ziyad is the hero of the story. Tariq ibn Ziyad was a North African slave who Musa ibn Nusayr freed and made a commander of the army. So he spent the early part of his life in slavery, and now he's the commander of this army, leading it across the ocean. Right? Again, we don't think of history like this, but these aren't just Muslims invading the Christian lands. These are North Africans invading Europe, right, and conquering Europe. And so he leads this army of 5,000, and they're able to take over a few villages and a few cities, and he writes back to Musa saying, listen, there's a potential here for us to actually win. So he sends him another 5,000. So he now has 10,000 soldiers. And King Roderick realizes that, hold on, these people are serious, they're coming to take over our lands. He puts together a mighty army. There's a difference of opinion on how big the army was, but everyone agrees that Tariq ibn Ziyad's army was outnumbered at least 3-1, if not 5-1. A massive army. See, one of the mistakes that the enemies of Islam made back then very often was they would send out the entire army for one battle to just wipe out the Muslims. And when their army lost that battle, it would leave all the regions open and easy to conquer. The Romans did the same thing in Yarmouk. They sent out the entire army to fight Khalid ibn Walid. And when that army was defeated, it was easy for the Muslims to conquer the rest of Syria and Palestine. King Roderick makes the same mistake. He sends out this large army, basically everybody he got, every soldier he knows, he sends them out to wipe out the Muslims. Tariq ibn Ziyad does two fascinating things here, right? Two fascinating military strategies. Number one, he realizes that if his people have a way to run away from the battlefield, when they see this large number, they're going to run away. So he creates a strategy where there's no way out, right? And he basically burns his own ships. So there's no way to run away back to Africa. You have to fight. And so this motivates his army to fight to the death. Another interesting thing he does is that he speaks to the Jews and Christians who called him over to establish justice in the region. He says, listen, if we guys are wiped out, you guys are next, right? And so the Jews and the Christians of Spain join the army of Tariq ibn Ziyad and wage jihad against the Christian ruler. This is a very fascinating incident in our history. We have Jews and Christians fighting jihad against a Christian ruler so that Muslims can take over their lands because they prefer the rule of Islam over this ruler. And so Tariq ibn Ziyad is able to gather a few more men. He now has over 10,000 Muslims, he has Jews, he has Christians, they're all fighting together. They got nowhere to go, they have no choice but to fight to the death. And somehow, miraculously, in the month of Ramadan, in that year, Tariq ibn Ziyad's army destroys the army of King Roderick. And once the army of King Roderick was destroyed, taking over the rest of Spain was easy. What comes after this? With the conquest of Spain, Islam arrives in Europe and transforms Europe and the rest of the world forever. Islam becomes the civilizing force of Europe. It is there, in Spain, where the Umayyads established their second kingdom. Many people are unaware of the second kingdom of the Umayyads, right? When the Abbasids take over the Muslim world, the Umayyad prince Abdul Rahman ibn Muawiyah, he runs away to Spain, he establishes a separate kingdom in Spain called the Umayyad Kingdom of Andalus, which lasts for over 300 years. During those 300 years, the Muslims of Spain experience a golden age. They become the most powerful civilization in that region, if not in the entire world. They establish universities, they establish libraries, they improve the agriculture, they improve the hygiene of the region. They basically develop the first true civilization of Europe. And slowly, but surely, the other Europeans have no choice but to learn from them. And so the Europeans from France and from England and from all these other lands, they start sending their youngsters to Andalus to learn Arabic and study in those universities so they can come back to their lands as doctors, so they can come back to their lands as scientists, so they can come back to their lands as philosophers. And now all of these different subjects start to spread throughout Europe through the Muslims. The conquest of Al-Andalus is not just an important event in the history of Islam. It's actually a key event in the history of Europe and in the history of modernity. Because all of these modern inventions we have today are building upon what the Muslims brought to Europe. Remember, every civilization builds upon the civilizations that came before them. The Muslims, when they conquered parts of Persia and the Roman Empire, they took from those empires and they built upon it. Likewise, we will see when the Christians conquered the Muslim world, they took from the Muslims and they built upon it. The Muslim conquest of Spain and the ruling over Spain is a very important part of our history. And we need a lot of time to go into more details about it. It's one of those chapters of history I highly recommend every young person studies. It is one of the most glorious periods in Muslim history, where Muslims produced some of the most amazing scholars and intellectuals and scientists in the history of this world. But it's also one of the darkest periods of our history, as we will get to shortly. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The history of Spain is bittersweet because this is the first land that the Muslims lost. We know today that Spain is a Christian land. But if you go to Spain, you will find remnants of Islam everywhere. Right till today, the main church of Cordoba used to be the Cordoba Masjid. It was one of the most beautiful and majestic masjids ever built. And it was so beautiful and majestic that even when the Christians reconquered it, they couldn't bring themselves to destroy this building. It was just too beautiful. So they converted it into a church. Spain fell because the Muslims eventually over time became complacent, they became materialistic, they became greedy, and most importantly, they started to fight each other. This is a recurring theme throughout our history. Muslims experience periods of weakness and defeat when we fight each other. And this is what happens with Spain. Eventually, Spain becomes like the golden goose. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants a piece of it. It's just too much money, too much power. I can't even explain to you how beautiful and powerful and wealthy this empire was. You know, at one point in time, the Muslims used to refer to Spain as Jannah on earth. They literally call it Jannah on earth, paradise on earth. And so people begin to fight, and power corrupts, and people start to fight each other to take over this land. And so after 300 years, once the Umayyad Empire of Spain collapses, the next 400 years is just infighting between Muslims. As Muslims fight each other to rule over this land, everybody wants a piece of this land. And it starts to break up into smaller and smaller kingdoms. And each of these small kingdoms don't like each other. It's very similar to what the Middle East looks like today. Right? The Middle East used to be one region under one Khalifa. And now we have all these small nation states that hate each other. That's basically what happened to Spain. It broke up into all these small little states, so that Granada becomes one state and Cordoba becomes another state, and they're all fighting each other, and they all have this nationalism that my state is the right one and your state is wrong, and they hate each other, and they start allying with Christians against the fellow Muslims. Again, it's amazing how history repeats itself. What happened to the Muslims of Spain is what's happening in the Middle East right now. We have Muslims allying with the Christians against the fellow Muslims. We have nation states fighting with each other to see who can get, you know, the bigger piece of the pie. And this goes on for a long time. There are two efforts to try and re-establish Islam in the region that lasted for around 100 years each, the Murabitun and the Muwahidun. But eventually the Muslims of that region fail. They become weak from infighting for over 400 years. And during this period, the Christians grow bolder. The Crusades start. The Crusades inspire the Christians of Spain to take back their land, and they start a military project called the Reconquista. The Reconquista, the reconquering of the land. And they are successful in the Reconquista. And this shook the Muslims of that time, because never before in history had the Muslims lost the land that big. Maybe a few small border cities they lost, but not something the size of Spain that was once a mighty kingdom. This was the first time in our history, we're talking about 700 years ago, was the first time in our history that a mighty Muslim civilization had been completely reconquered by the Christians. Muslims were forced to leave the land or be killed. Many became secret Muslims, but eventually they were found out and they were killed. And eventually, over the next few hundred years, it becomes a completely Christian land again. And there are lessons in this for us. Now, we know in recent history, Muslims lost a lot more lands. We know what's going on in Palestine. Allah grant our brothers and sisters victory there. We know what happened to India. We know about the colonization. But at that point in time, this was the worst thing to ever happen to Muslims. That Spain was completely gone. Islam was completely erased from the region. And we ask Allah to protect us from seeing something that happened again in our lifetime. The main lesson I want us to take from this. Number one, we know that the victory happened in Ramadan. And it continues with our theme that Ramadan is a time of miracles, a time of victories, a time of Allah's assistance and answer to us. So we must continue to pray for victory, no matter how dark it seems. We must continue to pray for victory for the Muslims of Gaza and anywhere else in the world where they are oppressed. This is a month of victory. And this continues the theme, showing once again the Muslims attain a miraculous victory in the month of Ramadan. Number two, I want us to focus on this lesson. Muslims conquered Spain in Ramadan. Muslims lost Spain because of infighting and disunity. Today, we are politically weak and we are divided. Yet we continue to have infighting amongst us. It's really ridiculous. If you look at it, like in South Africa, we are like, what, 2 or 3%? And the 2 or 3% are divided into so many groups and so many subgroups, and we all don't like each other, and we all fight with each other. How would Islam ever grow in this region if we don't learn to get along with each other? We have to start seeing the bigger picture. We have to start working together with our brothers and sisters in Islam despite our differences. We cannot be always fighting with each other. This is what weakens the Ummah. And it seems like we don't learn our lesson. Because even when we are minorities, even when we are politically weak, we still are focused more on fighting each other than working on bigger projects. As Muslims, we must learn to overcome our differences and work together. If we ever want to see Islam become great again, if we ever want to see Islam grow again, if we ever want to see Islam attain its full potential again, we have to overcome this infighting that is destroying our community. And let us take a lesson from this. The Muslims of Spain were once the rulers of that region. Because of infighting, they lost the land completely. What do you think infighting will do to us as a minority? What do you think happens to us as a minority if we are always fighting each other over every fit issue and every cultural issue and every racial issue and every tribal issue? We have to move past this. And we have to learn to get along. And we have to learn to help each other and to work together if we ever want to see Islam return to the glory of the past. We ask Allah to grant victory to the Mujahideen and the oppressed in Palestine and anywhere else in the world where Muslims are being oppressed and are resisting. We ask Allah to return this Ummah to a state of political power and to restore justice and peace to the Muslim world. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربي المصيفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقيم الصلاة